Today's lesson comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5 and 14 through 17 and chapter 4 1 through 5. Hear God's good news from Timothy. Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. And as the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to, lost, and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Steer clear of these people. But don't let it faze you. Stick with what you learned and believed, sure of the integrity of your teachers. Why, you took in the sacred scriptures with your mother's milk. There's nothing like the word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task that God has for us. I can't impress this on you too strongly. God is looking over your shoulder. Christ himself is the judge with the final say on everyone living and dead. And he's about to break into the open with his rule. So proclaim the message with intensity and keep on your watch. Challenge, warn, and urge your people. Don't ever quit. Just keep it simple. You're going to find that there will be times when people will have no stomach for solid teaching, but will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on truth, and they'll chase mirages. But you, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good, and keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. May God give us understanding, and let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Any of you Star Trek fans? Jeffrey Krebel actually captured in a story, in an episode from Star Trek The Next Generation. He tells about this time when this alien Q transports Captain Picard back to his youth. And he gives him the opportunity to sort of relive different experiences in his early life. Any of you remember that scene? Well, he goes back, and now older and wiser, Captain Picard makes some very different choices as a youth than he would have or actually did at that time. And then what's interesting is that later on in this episode, the alien shows him the outcome of those different choices and that different life. And oddly enough, those experiences of his youth, as reckless as he'd been, as bad a choices as he made, the outcome was that when he became an adult, he was only a lowly technician in engineering. And it turns out that all those experiences of his youth, as crazy as they were, actually gave him some very hard lessons that prepared him for something better. Kind of unexpected, isn't it? We sort of assume that it's the good choices, it's the avoidance of bad decisions that will get us to the best place. And that can also be part of what makes us feel bad in a way. You know, if we're always looking over our shoulder and thinking, man, I wish I'd done that different. Might have been a different outcome. And we can feel a lot of guilt and pain that carries on through life. But who would think that those crazy decisions that we made in our youth may actually have prepared us for something better? And I'm actually a strong believer in this. Because there were so many things, and a lot of them painful things, that occurred as I was growing up, that I realize now that if those things hadn't happened, not only would I not be the person that I am now, but I would not have the faith that I have now. And I would not have the same commitment and the same appreciation for all that God is doing and has done in my life. The Apostle Paul, he had his fair share of reckless choices as well, crazy choices. And he's actually writing this as a letter to Timothy during the final years of his life. And as he looks back on his life, he looks back on his experiences, he's trying to give Timothy some guidance. He's trying to help him as Timothy moves into his own ministry and his own leadership role within the faith. And I'm sure that as he was thinking about those things, quite a few things came to mind. Wow, I wish I had done that differently. One thing that he points out too in the scripture is that life is not easy. We sure know that to be true, don't we? I don't think there is one person sitting in this room that would disagree with the fact that life is hard. It's a challenge. But how do we address that? What wisdom can we take from Paul that will help us in our own lives? Well, it starts by saying that, first of all, don't be naive. And think about who you hang out with. His description as we begin about all these different people, self-absorbed. You see a little bit of that today, right? Money hungry, self-promoting, stuck up. You go through this list and you think, check, yeah, it's everywhere. And it kind of cracks me up in a way because a lot of times as I'm with different people, especially older people, I commonly hear this, well, man, you know, it's not like it used to be back in the old days, right? As if things were so different, as if whatever life or generation you are, there were those golden days when people got it right, when things were different and things were better. I want to set the record straight. Every generation has that feeling, and every generation is totally wrong. Each generation, there are strengths. Each generation, there are weaknesses. Each generation, there are new lessons. And I'm convinced that part of that is because we have a tendency as human beings is once we think we've got things figured out, we like to play the system. So I think that God intentionally keeps mixing things up with each generation. So yes, there are certain things that we can learn, but each generation has its own set of challenges that are in some ways different and new, in the sense, at the very least, that they are reframed in new ways. Like right now, we're dealing with all of the new challenges brought to us by technology. A very different scenario for parents who are trying to raise their kids, a lot of challenges. Some of you may have read the story that was featured about a young girl who managed to lose a family's winnings in a lawsuit by posting it on Facebook. Her father had won an $80,000 lawsuit, but there was a confidentiality agreement. The daughter posted it on Facebook, and they've lost every penny of it. We as human beings are very similar in many, many ways, and all of us struggle with these very descriptions in here. We all struggle with not being cynical, not being savage, not being crude, not being money hungry. We've all had those moments when but one of the things that makes it harder for us to rise above that is who we hang out with. So the starting place is hang out with people who are going to help you in your journey. People who are going to be good examples in your journey. People who are going to support you in your journey. And we certainly love and pray for all these folks that are struggling out there, but we don't want to be like them. And we become like those we're with. So that's starting place number one. We can't be naive about that. The second thing is that we really need to develop a trust in God and God's word. One of the things that irritates me so much about Christians and non-Christians alike is that there are so many fights over things that don't really matter. For instance, you'll see people who will be fighting about the actual nature of things. Was there really a Noah and an ark? Was the world really created in actually 7 days as we know it? That becomes a big bone of contention. Is it actual? Is it literal? Or is this something to help us give us understanding of a bigger truth? My feeling about that is that God is powerful enough that there is nothing beyond him. Anything could be literal. But is that the point that he's trying to teach us? My sense is a lot of times we use those things as red herrings so that we don't have to deal with the truths, the real truths that make us uncomfortable or that we don't want to have to conform to. And so as you're studying and as you're reading, understand that there is tremendous wisdom in the scripture. It's just waiting for us. But you have to go in open to God's word to you, open to what it means in practice and in life. And you have to go through that struggle with it too. There are going to be passages in here that are going to really, you're going to really struggle with it because it means changes. It means choices. It means you're living up to something that you may not feel ready for. But don't give up on it. Don't give up on it. There are also amazing words of comfort, things that strengthen us, knowing that there are generations that have gone before us that have also struggled, that have also tried to find their way, and that with God's help have found their way. So these words, they're very important to us in guiding us and in giving us a kind of a roadmap to who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live our lives. All of us, we know the truth. The question is, are we willing to hear it? And then are we willing to live it? The third thing is, we need to live for more than ourselves. A lot of times we get stuck in this mode about what's best for me? What's in my best interest? And that creates all kinds of problems, not only for us, but for all the people around us. Because if everyone is just doing what's best for them, and there's no leeway, there's no cooperation, there's no willingness to share and look at a bigger good, then we're destined to failure. And we will continue to be. And our world will be so small. It's actually very discouraging and very painful to just live for yourself. It can isolate you, and it can make it difficult for you to feel, in the end of the day, if you really even have any value. But when you're living for something better, when you know that what you're doing is something that can help others, that can help to make the world a better place, it changes everything. On so many, many, many levels. I want to close with one other story. William Ritter talks about how years ago, he had a dear friend who was 42 who entered a race. Now, she thought she was entering a 10K race, but when she started running, about 4 miles into the race, she realized that she had started with the wrong group because there was also a 26-mile race that was going on at the same time. So instead of being in the 10K, she's looking around. She's in that 26-mile race. What to do? And she had to make a decision. She decided that she was going to stick it out. And so she actually made it to the end of the race. And she told William later, she said, "This isn't the race I trained for. This isn't the race I entered. But for better or worse, this is the race I'm in." And hear it again, because that applies to us in our lives as well. This isn't the race I trained for. This isn't the race
I entered.
But for better or worse, this is the race I'm in. We didn't choose to be born. Some people will use that as an argument for doing whatever the heck they want to do, right? We did not choose. We did not choose this race. But we're in it. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us. It's up to us to stick to it in that race and see it to the end. And with God's help, we can do it, and we can do it well. It won't be easy, but we can do it. And how do we do it? We stick with people, like-minded people that help us to be our best and support us. We do it by trusting that God's word will give us the wisdom and strength we need. And we'll do it, too, by living by more than just for ourselves. We can do it. Let's pray. Almighty God, there are times when everything seems overwhelming. It can feel like times are more difficult than we can manage. But we know that you're there in it, that you're guiding us and giving us the strength that we need. So help us to be trusting and faithful. In your name we pray. Amen.